One, testing, one, two, three. Go ahead and open your Bible to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31. Jeremiah 31, verse 31 through 34. It's in your bulletin, but I would recommend that you have it in front of you in your own tablet or device or even a paper Bible. Yeah. So I want to welcome Shauna. Is that right? Shauna? Yeah. From the island of wood and stone. No, wood and water. Wood and water. That's right. So my wife's name is Naomi, and one of our best friends are from the island of Jamaica. They're the first Jamaican couple to ever be married in Japan. Both born in Jamaica and then met in Japan and then married here in this church. Yeah, so they're good friends of ours. So one day the Lord will get us to Jamaica. And yeah, I'm gonna swim in those beautiful waters someday. So anyways, yeah, I'm encouraged. Many years ago, Mark's here, an old member of ours, maybe over a decade ago, we had so many people from the Philippines attending our English service. And now it's just the remnant of Cindy and Lord Will and me. And then we got Mark. And yeah, there's one point where all the Filipinos would sit in half this side of the church, and then everybody else would sit on this side. Recently, we have people from the African continent. We have Golda from Ghana, Patrick from Ghana as well. Then Res from Zimbabwe. Yeah. And then of course Grace from Kenya. And then I'm excited. I want to see as many brown people in church as possible. Yeah, from India, the African continent, Asia. And I'll tell you why. Last night, I was on the phone with my friends from the States, in the United States. Two of my friends are pastors, one in California, one in Tennessee. Nothing to do with the sermon today. But they went to India 2 weeks ago. Amazing trip there. They were visiting pastors and churches just to observe what's happening. And what happened was one of the pastors brought them around to a village, and all a bunch of church planters and native Indian church planters gathered. They brought their new converts. My friends, two friends, went to a compound, and they baptized 252 new converts in one day. And that was just Thursday. It wasn't a special day. The Lord is exploding His church in India. People are coming in droves. They met a man who had killed four people, spent time in prison. He came out and he was depressed. Somebody shared the gospel with him. He became a Christian. He has since planted 50 churches in and around India. Another man, he said he had built his home. Finally, he had finished building his own house. And in their village, there would cobra snakes would infest the new house. And he traveled day and night to find a Hindu priest to come and pray over his house. The cobras still came. And then one day a Christian said, "I'll pray for your house. Jesus is God over all creation, and maybe He will have mercy on your house." He prayed. The snakes never came back. That man gave his home to Jesus Christ, and he has planted over dozens of churches. And his people are planting dozens of churches. The Lord is exploding in India. And I can't wait till we have some Indian Christians come to Hiroshima, start coming to this church, we start worshiping. I saw a picture of a room, a capacity of 50 people, half the size of this sanctuary, filled with 200 Indian church planters, men and women, in all kinds of beautiful Indian colors. You know, they wear the sari, right? Or what's it called? The sari, and it's just, they're all raising their hands, praising God. They're singing hallelujah. Yeah. And I'm so encouraged. I had to share that story with you. I heard it last night, and I said, oh, I can't wait to get to church. I want to join them in praising God. We are few, but we are strong when God surrounds us and He is with us. Amen. All right, let's go ahead. We're going to read from the Old Testament, the prophet Jeremiah. Great Sunday today. We're going to read just four verses. Let me go ahead and read 31 to 32. Please join me from verse 33. This is Jeremiah chapter 31. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with the ancestors when I took them from the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. Let's read together. This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. The very words of God. Lord Jesus Christ, light of the world, fill our minds with your truth and our hearts with your love. Oh boy, the song we sang, Remembrance, it has a key word in it. It's called the covenant, the new covenant. Today, we're going to spend a few moments in meditation on the word covenant. It's not a word that's used at all in modern language, but if you meditate and think about the meaning of the word covenant, I promise you, it will make you a better person. It will make you a better family member, a better brother and sister. It will make you a better friend. It will make you a better spouse, a better father, a better mother, and a better daughter, and a better son. It will be good, not only for you, but for your company and for your community. So let's spend some time thinking about covenant, okay? So, the way that God relates to people, the Creator relates to His creation through covenant. So, Adam and Eve in the garden, the first man and woman, our great mother and father, he said, Adam, Eve, you do this, I will do this. That's covenant language. He said to Abraham, the father of the faith, Abraham, I'll take you out and you go to a land and I will bless you and you follow me. If you follow me, I'll bless. That's covenant language. With Moses on the mountain, we'll talk a lot about that today. He brought his people, the children of Abraham, to the mountain called Sinai. And he said, my people, I've taken you out of Egypt. And if you will obey these commands, I will bless. But if you disobey, I will curse. It's covenant language. The Adamic covenant, the Noahic covenant, the Mosaic covenant, the Davidic covenant, lots of covenants. The problem is the covenants failed. So what is covenant? The Japanese is keyaku, but it's not the keyaku of contract. It's a different keyaku. I don't know the kanji, but I know it's not keyaku for contract. Because why? Because the word contract is a legal word. The word covenant is more intimate, more emotional, more loving, more committed than a legal contract. It's not a contract, it's a covenant. But covenant is stronger, more permanent than just a dating relationship. It's more powerful than just an emotional connection because it's legally binding. Do you see that? So you have a legal commitment, but there's heart. It's a combination of love and law. It's both and. It's not either or. That's covenant. The world needs covenant. Because in business, all you have, and in government, all you have is, you know, relationships not based on friendship and love. But at the other hand, you have relationships in the world that are just emotional and surface and fickle. And when you don't meet my needs, when I don't get what I want, sayonara. But God says, no. We're not about feelings only, and we're not about just law. We're not about just love or law. We're covenant. Yeah? It's good, right? Now, who is God as a God of covenant? Because there's two ways that we think about God, and they're not deep enough. You know, if you go down this road and you get down to the stoplight, there's a golf shop on the right side. And on the golf shop, there's sometimes a poster or like a cardboard stand of like a famous golfer. You know, he's just a cardboard. It's not the real golfer. It's the right height and the right size, but it's just a fake golfer, a cardboard cutout. And many people think of God as a cardboard cutout because they either think God is just, he's the creator, he's the lawgiver, he gives the moral command, the Ten Commandments, and if you don't obey them, he will strike you down. It's legalistic. Or they think of God in another way. They think of God as, oh, he loves you and he wants the best for you. He wants your best life, and it doesn't matter what you believe or how you behave. You do you. You be you, and God will always accept you with open arms because he's the God of love. Sin. We don't talk about sin. We don't talk about hell. You know? He's cardboard. Right? It's not real. That's what one-dimensional God is not God. God is as loving as he is holy. He loves justice as much as he wants relationship with you. And he's so much more than just a fake little idea of what the world has. So that's the God of covenant. So, see, here, the problem is not God, it's us. And what's amazing about this promise of covenant is God is saying, I want to make a new one. Because there is a problem with the old one. And so, what's the problem? Well, you can see here, verse 32, it will not be like the covenant I made with the ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, and they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them. That's the whole story right there. That's about 700 years of history in verse 32, where God took a people out of slavery. He gave them a constitution called Leviticus. And he set them in a land called the Promised Land. And he says, obey, follow, keep my covenant, and you'll have blessing. And so there's this kind of problem that people have of relating to God. They think, they read that, they see the word. This is from Exodus chapter 19, where God takes his covenant with Israel. And he says, if you will indeed obey my voice, keep my covenant, you will be my treasured possession among all the peoples. And the big word that people see there is the word if. Well, if it's the word if, it means that there's a condition to it. Therefore, if I don't obey, if I'm not faithful, if I break the covenant, well, then God will curse. And so they think of God as being only the law. Now, the problem is, not only does God say that in Exodus 19 and in many places, but you know what? God also says in other places, dozens and dozens and dozens of places, for example, in Judges, where he says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will always be with you. Judges chapter 1. I didn't put the phrase there, but this is Judges chapter 2, excuse me. I brought you up from Egypt and brought you into the land I swore to give your fathers. I said, I will never break my covenant with you. Many places God says, I'll never break my covenant. Well, which one is it, God? Is it conditional, based on law, legal, or is it unconditional, based on love? Which one? And so there's this problem. And you know what? That's not just this philosophical problem. It's a personal problem for all of us. Let's split the room in two. Which side are you on? On the one side, there's the people that think, God just looks at me and he sees my faults, my mistakes, my failures, and it doesn't matter how much I do, it's never enough. And it's almost crushing me. It's hard to just get up. Sometimes I feel like I can't come to church because I'm such a failure. There's a voice in my head that always says, you call yourself a Christian? Who do you think you are? And that's this way I see myself. And I can't get to the other side. I can't break out of that. It's very difficult. And the way I relate to God is through this conditionality of, okay, if I do the right thing, then God will bless me. And if I'm not doing the right thing, then everything goes wrong. Okay, let me show you the other side. Here's the other side. God is good all the time. And, He's going to forgive me. Yeah, I make mistakes. Yeah, I fail all the time, but it's okay. I don't want to hear about sin or hell. That's just, don't be so negative. God doesn't care about sin. God doesn't care about justice. God doesn't care about, there's little white lies. God understands. And God will just sweep it under the rug. God knows how to turn away. He forgives and he forgets. And so, you know, I can come to church when I feel like, and here's the thing. If I don't like the preaching, I don't need to come to this church. Oh, the music? There's another church down the road. There's this pastor I like online. There's a Bible study on Zoom. They're better for me. You know what that's called? That's not covenant. That's consumerism. That's not covenant relationship. That's consumer relationship, religion. Now, have I offended anybody? No? Okay. If you can't say amen, you should say ouch. Okay? And now some of you are thinking, yeah, about 10 years ago, I was on that side. And about 10 years ago, I was on this side. Right? Yeah, both and. Guilty on both charges. Yeah. So that's the situation that people find themselves in the old covenant. Is they relate to God either on one or the other, or so what's the way through? What's the way forward? How do you reconcile law and love? How do you reconcile legalism and relativism? All right. So the Lord, oh, I'm sorry. This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time. I will put my law in their minds and write them on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. Let's meditate. We're meditating. I want to go to the middle of this slide here. The old covenant. There's law and there's love. The old covenant was rules on tablets. But you know what? It was also on love. It's a tabernacle. So what's the tablet? The Ten Commandments. Right? Obey these Ten Commandments. They're important. They're the foundation of society. They're the foundation of life. Break these commandments, there's a curse. But it's not only that, though. Because God knows you will break commandments. You will forsake the law. And so what does God provide? He provides a way out, love, the tabernacle. What's the tabernacle? Sacrifice. Because when you sin, you offer the sacrifice to cover the sin. Love covers a multitude of sins. And so you have your sins forgiven and your faults and your failures covered over by the tabernacle sacrifice. And so there's both there. There's obedience to the law, and then there's sacrifice for sin. It's both conditional and constant. The sacrifice is constant again and again and again because we fail again and again and again. There's the blessings for obedience, and then there's the curse for the disobedience. Now, Jesus comes. And when Jesus comes, he says, you know what? That old system, it's time to fulfill it. The law is important. Justice and righteousness must be fulfilled. When Jesus came and he got baptized by his cousin John, John is like, you? I can't baptize you. You're more righteous than me. And Jesus says, no. This is to fulfill all of righteousness. What is he saying? He's saying all of the 613 laws written in the books of Exodus and Leviticus, I'm about to fulfill them. I'm about to obey perfectly. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Check. Love your neighbor as yourself? Check, check, check. This fulfills all righteousness. And then he says, he goes through, he obeys, he loves, he teaches, he heals, he feeds, perfect obedience to God. And then one night, he's celebrating the Passover, the celebration of the freedom of Israel. And he takes the wine, the cup of wine, and he says, "This is my blood of the new covenant." And his disciples are watching him say, what? New covenant? That's Jeremiah. And they take out their cell phones, and they're like, new covenant. Jeremiah 31, 34. Wait, what are you talking about? He says, Jesus is saying, this death I'm about to suffer in the next 24 hours, this is the covenant that God promised. Because all of the covenant that we failed to keep as Israel, it was all external. It was the motivation was outside. It was test scores. It was school grades. It was mom and dad taking out the belt. No, I'm sorry. I don't want to offend, but you know what I'm talking about. The shoe coming out. It was outside motivation. But Jesus says, through this death, the motivation will go from external to internal. God is now going to write his law in our minds and on our hearts. The heart will become the tablet. That means I'm not going to obey God out of fear of punishment or motivated by a blessing. I'm going to obey God because I love him. You know, the classic relationship, the classic covenant relationship for humans is marriage. So last month, I went to California, and I performed the marriage of my little sister and my new brother-in-law. And I love the vows, because the vows is not something you get anywhere else in the world. It says, look, I'm going to love you regardless of how I feel. I'm going to sacrifice my freedom. I'm going to sacrifice my desires. And there's going to be times you're sick, you're poor, you're doing terrible, you're depressed, and you're not going to give me what I need or want, but that doesn't matter because this is a covenant, right? And I'm giving up my liberties. And God is saying, in this death, I'm giving up something for you. I'm giving up my life for you. And that's why it's called the steadfast love of God. It doesn't matter how faithful you are. It doesn't matter how good you've been. No matter how perfect you've been. And on the other side, regardless of what you did last night, what you thought this morning, what you said to that person, and what they did to you, how much they hurt you, how much they put you through, how much you're suffering even now because of what they did, regardless of all that, you still get the unfailing, merciful, loving kindness of God. It's called blessing. Why? Because of covenant. How? Because of the blood, the cross. Because on the cross, Jesus received the curse of the law. And by receiving the curse of the law, those who trust in that death get the blessing of the Spirit. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming the curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. So now I want to ask you, if you're in the place where God is condemning me, God is judging me, I can never be good enough. You're right. But the good news is, Jesus took your punishment on your behalf. Now you need to sit in that, soak and meditate until it gets deep in your heart. Because listen, the more that gets deeper into your heart, the more your heart will be transformed. It's called grace. It's called sanctification. And the more you will be able to forgive those who fail you. That jerk, who does he think he is? Ah, yes. God forgave me. Who do I think I am? And I can apply that love, that forgiveness to whoever they are. And on the other hand, there's some of us here just a little bit too loose with it. It's a little bit too, you've gotten a little bit too used to your sin. You've gotten a little bit calloused in your heart. And you think, God will forgive. I'm a Christian. I believe the right thing. I have the right doctrine. God will forgive me. Look how much it cost God to forgive you. There is a weeping that comes with sin. There is repentance that comes with sin. There is blood that cost the sin. So whatever side you're on, whether it's legalistic or relativistic, there's a reconciliation at the cross of Christ where you receive the blessing because he received the curse. That's the new covenant. And is there love in it? Oh my goodness, is there love in it? Look at the last verse. Right there. They will all know me from least to the greatest. I will forgive. Here. They will be my people. When God says, I will be your God and you will be my people, that's God saying, I will be your husband. I'm giving myself to you. That's love. And then here it says here, I will forgive their wickedness, remember their sins no more. What he's saying is, no more tabernacle. No more sacrifice again and again and again. Once is enough. One death, one cross, that was enough. That was enough to cover all our sins. Hallelujah. So, is there love? There's no greater love than that. That's the good news. So, a final meditation, just as something to reflect on. All of what we do in this life in 2022 is about consumerism over covenant. If I don't get what I want, how I don't get my needs met, whether it's church, if this church doesn't give me what I need, it's okay. I got the podcast. Whether it's friendships, all I do is give him. I give. He never gives back. That's consumerism. That's consumer friendship, okay? Marriage, relationships, family, right? But God calls his people a covenant people. This group here is not a club. It's a covenant people. And you may not get what you want every Sunday, but it's not about you. See, I got good news for you. You're not that important, right? That should set you free, okay? It doesn't need to be all about you. This is a covenant. And when you don't get your needs met, it's okay, because everything we've ever needed has already been given to us. Yeah, it's the blood, right? All I'm saying is this. If you're reflecting on the covenant, there's loyalties that you need to grow in, whether it's a friend, a spouse, a family member, even this church. There's something there, okay? Yeah. And then finally, we talked about it before, where are you on the spectrum of legalism and relativism? Okay, if you're on the one side, let the covenant bring you back to the other side. If you're off too much on the other side, let the covenant bring you back to the place where love and righteousness, faithfulness, and steadfastness meet together. Let him bring you back. That's the meditation for today. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's pray. If ever I should lose my way, if ever I should stumble in my faith, remind me of the new covenant, Lord God. Let me live my life in remembrance. Lord Jesus, we surrender. Lord Jesus, we humble ourselves. Lord Jesus, we give ourselves once more at this place and this hour. Let the storm come. Let the typhoon rage. But let your steadfast love keep us steady, even in the midst of great turmoil. We thank you for the new covenant. In Jesus' name.